mind standing, let's read our scripture and then we'll pray before we see this. Good to see each one of you out. Good to see some with us that's been out and all from us. Appreciate each one of you. Still some missing, so we just ask you to pray one for another. Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. And then we'll read from Matthew 24. If you want to turn to these, it's Matthew 24, would be verse 6. To hold these. We're speaking on the second seal, so you'll know these are the scriptures of it anyway and when we get to it. Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. Well, let's just read 1 through 4. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now let's read Matthew 24, start with about the fourth verse. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, you remember the background story of this. There was three questions asked the Lord Jesus. And he sets out to answer three questions. And then when they asked him the questions, what was his first thing that he started off telling them? Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." See, then he started out explaining things about the coming and all, because that would be the first seal would be tied up in the mystery of iniquity. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your loving grace unto us. Thank you for an opportunity of being here, Lord. Thank you for your presence among us this morning, and knowing that you promised to always be with us. Guide us now, forgive us of our sins, lift us up in your understanding, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The heater's on high enough. I turn the fan on, take care of me, so that'll help y'all. But we've been trying. We spent about 7 services on the first seal, and then we picked up into the second seal, and this will be message number 3 that we'll be dealing with, trying to get to a place of seeing something, because what I'm trying to do, if I have to, if you notice that I preach a while on it, and I'll go back and I'll review it, and I'll preach a while and go back and review it, because I want you to catch what we're trying to say. And covering on the first seal, we saw that it was the mystery of iniquity, and we found that that first seal revealed not only just the Antichrist. We saw that it revealed the Antichrist and the next stage that it went into, which was a false prophet, and then the next stage it went into, which was the beast in the tribulation, and then that beast incarnate as Antichrist, 4 stages, you know, of his work. Really, the fourth is just a completion of the third. It's not something different. It's just the way you'd say it, because it becomes Satan incarnate. And we saw that revealed to us as the seal showed an end. Now, notice the way I've been saying it. That's what we see in this time. We went through the seals the last time studying them on things, and we saw the different things as it come through the Bible and spoke of and showed, like Cain and Abel and the killings and this and that and the other. But this time we're trying to watch something as it comes to an end from each seal, see, as it comes down. Well, see, then you can take that first seal and you can see not the destruction of Satan. Brother Brown didn't cover it that way. He covered the end of the Antichrist, because it's the mystery of iniquity. Then the mystery of iniquity doesn't just cover, say, you'd get up and say, well, I'm going to speak on the mystery of iniquity today. I'm going to talk about the Antichrist. Well, you'd have to take that all the way through the stages. If you just spoke of an Antichrist spirit, like that, just say that's a spirit that's among the people, you'd never see that come to be the man of sin in the tribulation. But if you'll watch the prophet, he would bring it to an end. In other words, he'd show it under that seal as far as that, as those stages would go. He went through the four stages of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, and then Satan incarnate as the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, or the red dragon as we brought out. All of them come down to where that's as far as that seal showed that person go. See, then we picked up the side of showing the redemption, and we saw how that in iniquity we were born, conceived in sin, brought into the world, and iniquity being the beginning of something. And it's like I said, now just because I kept on preaching on iniquity, don't think I don't know what sin is, but iniquity is the beginning of sin. In other words, that's what it starts in the first beginning of it, so it is the mystery of iniquity. Well, then we saw that come down and reveal that the Word would have to be what would cleanse us from our iniquity. Now, if I repeat that again after a while, I just got it in there because I keep saying things over and over again to where you'll just keep going through it till you'll see it. Well, then we picked up the second stage. See, then in that you'd see the Word would cleanse us from our iniquity. That'll show that come to an end. See, because that has to end there. And then we'll pick up the second seal, and we took the second seal showing that it was the second work, our dispensation. Now, have you ever noticed, Brother Branham will take, maybe this will help you to understand the seals. He'll start out explaining something, and he always backgrounds the previous before he goes into the next one. And on the first seal, he backgrounded the breach, and then he went on in. But watch him. He'll take first the rider and the horse. So he'll take the rider and the horse, and then watch him pick up what that rider then next is doing, or the next symbol, like under the first seal. Now watch it this morning. If you caught it last week, you can see some of it as we review it. That Antichrist spirit was given a crown. It was under the second seal, showing the crown given. See, because it shows under the second seal, the second work or dispensation of the rider. Now, you remember that from last week? The second work or dispensation, Brother Branham calls it, on 2:11, 2:12, 2:13, if you want to write them down. Read them through there. He covers the second work, our dispensation, or he uses the word form. He said the same rider, he said like Joel with the cankerworm locust, caterpillar and cankerworm and all like that, the same bug, different stages of it. So the Antichrist goes in under this seal, we see him take on a second work, our form. Our dispensation. And he becomes a crowned false prophet. See, that's what your second seal reveals. Satan as a crowned false prophet to an Antichrist system. But now it's under this seal that he's given the crown. See, if you remember under the first seal, it said, and a crown was given unto him. Alright, that crown wasn't given unto him, say, like if you take this seal and run it through the scripture and cover what it's covering. Then you pick up the next seal and run it through the scripture and cover what it's covering. It was under the second work, our form. I read it to you last week. Brother Branham said it like this. In other words, he said, you can't crown a spirit. So your Antichrist covers a spirit. And Brother Branham said, you want me to tell you who that is? That White horse rider, he said, that's the Antichrist. All right, then he covered the mystery of iniquity. which covers every stage of the Antichrist all the way. Now, as I said the other day, what would have happened if Brother Branham would have walked out and he'd have just said, what is that white horse rider? And he said, oh, that's the man of sin, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. Well, boy, every denomination under the sun would have said, look, we know what that is. We know all about this beast and the man of sin, but it was the mystery of iniquity. So it started with an antichrist spirit and worked its way down. Now we see it in its second stage, that he's given a crown when he becomes a crowned false prophet. Or, as Brother Branham covered on those pages, if you'll notice, he said, when that antichrist spirit become incarnate, I'm not talking about over in the tribulation, the beast and all, he said, when that second work or form or dispensation, said that was a crowned antichrist spirit, and it didn't call him a pope. The Bible called him a false prophet, because that's what it was. Then in that, you can look at one major person. You know, you can look at one major point of a false prophet, because when it comes to the tribulation and the man of sin sits in the temple of God, it'll be one man that'll be sitting there. But that one man is only a figurehead, or a head demon, or as Brother Branham said now, said that demon, see that Satan will finally, if you read your second seal, he said Satan finally comes to the place that it ain't a demon, it's Satan himself. See, it's not just a demon no more. But yet there's a lot of demons there that are incarnate with the other people that's got the same antichrist spirit. So we were not trying to look at the seal to just say, well, we know that second dispensation, that's a pope. That's what that is. We've been trying to look at it to see if we was in that state. We found the first seal revealing the mystery of iniquity, and that we were tied right up in that very thing, and that our bodies are still a product of iniquity. And your seal has to break to take the redemption of that body. See, then in this dispensation, it's the Antichrist spirit as he becomes incarnate in a man and is called a false prophet. And then we saw now that, like, see, that's the rider. That's the horse and the rider, you know, the red horse and the rider on his back. See, it's Satan just in another form. Then we saw that, what did the sword pertain to? Watch your seal as it picks up and shows you something. What does that sword pertain to? It pertained to a church political war. Now watch your seal as it unfolds. What does the seal pertain to? A trumpet pertains to one type of disturbance. But what does a seal pertain to? A religious disturbance. See, a religious disturbance is what that seal pertains to. Well, then you can look at that seal from the natural side of what it reveals, and see that your sword pertains to a political war. Or, as we covered, when it come down to it, Satan joined church and state. The two horns of the little lamb over in Revelation 13, civil and ecclesiastical power, that when that crowned false prophet come in there, that he was a king. He ruled over Rome. He ruled over the world as far as his power was concerned through the Dark Ages. He became a crowned king of Rome, he says on 2:19. All right, then we saw that crown was what? That was the crown that started back there under the first that now comes into manifestation as a crown of a king. Because that's a triple ruling crown. See, then in that ruling, it's over heavenly matters, earthly matters, and over purgatory, because that's the triple ruling crown of Rome. He claims to have power over heaven, he claims to have power over the earth, he claims to have power over purgatory, which he can pray your descendants out of, you know, and get them out of purgatory if you pay enough money. But we saw that that made him a crown false prophet to a false system, an antichrist spirit crown, see, because it was finally put into a man. And his power then was those two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power. See, civil like the government, you know, the natural governmental powers out there. He was ruler over that because he was made a pope. All right, then he had power over the whole religious system. So we saw the seal brought that man down, see. Showed that man as he come down to a place there that he controlled the world as a ruler. Now, what did he rule the world with? Does the United States rule us by natural laws of all kind of forms we think to do? But really, what's the ruling factor of this nation? It's what they're taught. It's what's taught down through the systems of the government, that this is the right way of doing it. The system of the schools and all comes down to a place that we're ruled by their word, not by their brutal force. We're ruled by the word. All right? Well, then, of the people, all right? Then what is Satan's rule that he has? That was his sword that he used. That sword that was there is not a physical sword. As I said the other day, that pope that was back there, even the one that sang it, Augustine of Hippo, you know, that Brother Rand said he gave the right to, it's better to serve God out of force than to not serve him at all. So he wrote a decree, it was all right to kill people, try to make them serve God. He probably never killed nobody in his life. But what killed? The words from his mouth, the sword that he had, he took the Bible and used that way of showing that he had the right to do that. He had the right to rule over those things. He'd take the word and prove that he had the right to do it. He'd take the word and prove he had the right to rule over heaven, earth, and purgatory. See, he'd read it out of the Bible. Well, it become to the place that he just ruled the world for 1,000 years. Under a crowned false prophet. Now watch, his rule was by fear. His rule was by fear. Now, at that time, not only of the natural law which he was the head of, see, civil and ecclesiastical, he ruled by the natural law of the land. He could kill anybody he wanted to, the prophet said. He said, there do you see your seal? He said, 68 million Protestants. After laying a foundation of the first seal and moving into the second, he picked up, showing what that rider was, and then when he got to it, he covered the sword that he had. All right, that sword was his doctrine. First, it was a deed. Second, it became a doctrine. So it's the second work or dispensation that you're speaking of. And he's ruling over heaven, earth, and purgatory by fear. He has control over the people by fear. All right, now where did we go to when we got that far? When we covered it last week, where did we go to when we got that far? That we saw that Satan's tactics and the way he done was through fear, not through brutal force necessarily, but through his word. Then the Bible said he hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which was to conquer the laity. And how do you conquer the laity? By the doctrine that you have. See, that conquers the laity. What did we find out about the people of the message? They had got a quick trip of ruling crown, ain't they? Ruling over heaven, earth, and purgatory. So there ain't nobody in this message teaches about purgatory, wasn't he? We know better than that. No, but in their teaching, they do exactly what the Pope done before them, or it wouldn't be right what the prophet said. It don't change. It just comes on down. So we'll have to see it the same way. What do? They rule over heaven because they say, you believe me and my message? You believe this message? What I preach? See, he's ruling over heaven. You ain't going there unless you believe what I preach. See, I told you, we don't look at the Pope out yonder as the guy to look at. That's just something that you can see up in the top end of it. Look at all of them little demons down through there that come up to make that man what he is. He didn't just walk out there one day and say, well, here I am now, I'm a Pope. It took hundreds of years. It took 325 years. On the First Nicene Council to get it to the place they could slide the Trinity into it. And then it come on over to maybe 600 and something before they crowned. I don't remember exactly when the first Pope come into existence, but if it was 1,000 years of Dark Ages, it was somewhere around 500 and come on over to the 1500. Of course, at that time would overlap on the Pius there because they were still killing on Pius Luther and them. But see, people of the message say, you believe what I preach? You believe my message? No, well, you're out then. You ain't going to heaven because I've got the word that takes you there. Then what about earth? See, heaven, earth, and purgatory. What do we cover on earth? They rule it by force, don't they? Give you a book of rules. Ladies wear their dresses to a certain place. Must have their hair hanging down. Must do this. Must do that. Must do this. Women, men, back and forth. A book of rules. So they rule over earth, don't they? They rule them by fear. Then they have purgatory. And they say, well, what about my family? My family here is one of my members of my family's died. What about them? Well, did they believe the message? Yeah, well. All that ever loved the prophet, all that the prophet ever loved, they're coming out. Or they'll take some type of a set of scales to determine whether the person's in heaven or not. You know, by a set of scales. That's heaven, earth, and purgatory, then, ain't it? So it comes down to the same place today. All right, now your false prophet with his sword. Now watch this. We saw that it come to an end. You remember that last week? We saw the first seal showed an end to the Antichrist when he went through his three stages and incarnate in the fourth. All right? Now, under the first seal, watch it. Under the first seal, that was what the prophet showed. But take up your second seal and see what he showed about it then. He'd review those stages coming down. But he showed that false prophet incarnate second work of dispensation come to an end. See, the seventh seal shows the end of the first seal. It'll show the end of the second seal. It'll show the end of the third, the fourth, all the way through because the seventh seal is the end of all things. All right, then we're watching each seal come to an end. See, what does that seal end up showing? What does the second seal that we see of the Pope, what does that false prophet wind up showing the end of there? I told you, I can't explain it unless there's a chronological error in the scripture of the layout, but the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire before the millennium ever starts, according to the scripture. Because it's in the 19th chapter, and the 20th chapter picks it up again and shows a millennium, and Satan bound
for a little season. Then later on, the people's cast into the lake of fire. But there's either something wrong with the order of the scripture, or the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire before you ever even get to the millennium. And I told you the only reason I can see for that is that you would have to have that destruction of that false prophet system there, because when you come out after the millennium before the white throne judgment, you wouldn't start back off in that little season that he's loose. It might be 100 or 1,000 years or who knows what. As a deception of a false prophet, you would start back out with the same deception after the millennium that you started with originally, Antichrist. See, you wouldn't start with false prophet or beast or anything like that. See, that's just my thoughts. You can take that for whatever it way. But now we saw it come to an end, because we saw that what's now, it was his doctrine. It was Satan's doctrine that he destroyed with. It's the false prophet's doctrine, his sword, that he destroys with. Then Brother Branham covered it on 220, 221, 222, you remember, out of the seal book, showing that it comes to an end, because what did he show? They that take the sword must die by the sword. All right, then they took the sword, he says on 222, they took the sword of dogma and must be destroyed by the word as it rises in power coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus, he said. All right, now they that take the sword shall die by the sword. As Peter took the sword and cut off the ear, the Lord Jesus spoke to him, he said, now, put up that sword. They that take the sword shall die by that sword. So when he took dogma, when that come down to a dogma that they took it, a doctrine, what they taught, when they took that by a sword, the word, you know, they destroyed 68 million Protestants with that sword as they went forth cut. Then they must be destroyed by the word. You get over then in Revelation, you find that the mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, which is the Catholic Church, and the woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, that they even admit themselves that that's them or that woman. You see that woman as she comes to a destruction. Brother Brown said there's bombs hanging in the hangars in Russia now, waiting for a time to be rained down all over to destroy that, burn that mother whore. And ain't no difference in a mother whore and a harlot daughter, because that's what the scripture says, the old mother whore of Revelation, see, 17 and through that. A harlot daughter, what would be the difference in a harlot and a whore? It's just distinguishing one as the mother and the other as the daughter. Because they're both prostitutes. And in that, it's not natural prostitutes as much as it's spiritual prostitutes to the word. So the mother whore is the Catholic Church, and the Protestant system is that Antichrist system falling along with it. Then that sword, see, that they take, your second seal reveals that they took that sword and killed 68 million Protestants with it. And Brother Brown says, one time speaking like this, he said, and untold how many others spiritually. See, don't tell how many others were killed spiritually that they didn't physically kill, but they physically killed 68 million Protestants that they admit by their own record, trying to make them worship God. See, then that sword that they took, that doctrine, that dogma, that thing that they took, in that second work of the second seal, or second dispensation, or form that you see him as, a crowned false prophet, he's got the power to kill them all. Anybody that don't agree with him, he's got the power to kill them. Now, think of that taking the sword and die by it. Now, they took the sword of dogma and must be destroyed by the word, because that's a sword. All right? all that take the sword must die by it. Now, if you read on page 366 of the sealed book, 365 and then 366, you'll find that the Jews one day cried out when they was crucifying the Lord Jesus and said, "Let his blood be on us." And the prophet said, because they done that and murdered him, they must likewise be murdered. See, they took the sword. They didn't choose the word. They chose somebody else's thoughts. And they must be destroyed. As I said the other week, the very thing that the 250 priests in the Old Testament was carrying when they went into the altar and got coals off the fire and came out there and stood with the people against Moses and said, "We believe the same. We believe in God. We're worshiping God. We're doing just the same." What killed the people? An earthquake opened up the ground. But what killed the priest? The fire from the altar came out and destroyed him. Fire proceeded from his lips. We read it last week where it was the sword that proceeds from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Not a sword like something to cut with that. The word that comes from those two prophets will burn that prostitute system. Because the prophet told us on the sixth seal, said they can open that seal anytime they want to. All right, when or what is that seal under the sixth seal? It shows a rejection of man because God pours out his wrath upon the earth and they can call down fire anytime they want to destroy. So they destroy it with their words, don't they? All right, now what? Here's what I wanted to get this morning out of it. If we don't accept this end time message in its purest form taught, then how are we going to make it? I told you the other week a key there that you'd watch it throughout the seal book. You take one, you could show me one seal a prophet don't talk about Malachi 4. Because that's one of the secrets that was locked in the seal. Who was looking for Malachi 4 until the prophet came and told us all about it? See, that's one of the secrets that's locked in the scriptures, what he's to do. Because everybody else thinks, well, that was John the Baptist, and then the Lord Jesus done this, you know, and backwards and forth or something like that, and they taught it all kind of different ways. But just think now. What did we find? Watch your first and second seal connect together. What did we find under the first seal? Mystery of iniquity. What did we find about me and you now under that iniquity? We found we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Spouse from our mother's womb went forth a liar. All right? Then we're a very product of iniquity. Now, I know I won't get far enough to pick it up because we'll pick it up tonight, but you just think on it. That first seal showed that that prophet would have to come and restore the word. Now, why don't the people that talks about Brother Branham being a prophet, why don't they pick it up in the seals and show that he was promised to come forth and reveal the word? Because that's what one of the secrets under the seal is. That there's one of the mysteries there is that that prophet would have to restore that word. Because how would you get rid of iniquity? This body that we live in is a very product of iniquity. How are you going to get rid of it? So every denomination says, we'll have a new body. Every system that there is teaches that we'll have a new body. And about half of the people of this message teach it that way, that we'll have a new body. Oh, they wouldn't dare using words like that, but they just can't see it. But we found that the word reveals that we will have a new body. But it would be this body glorified, not a replacement. be this one glorified. See, that's the new body. That's where they missed it. They can't just can't see that that is. But that seal reveals that now. Because what did it reveal? We found that mercy and truth from Psalms had met together, and mercy and truth had kissed each other. Excuse me, I might have got that backwards. Mercy and truth met together, and righteousness and peace kissed each other. All right, what did we find that if mercy and truth, because we covered that by mercy and truth would our iniquity be purged? Do you remember that? See, let's tie the two seals together now and see something for a minute. By that mercy and truth meeting together, our iniquity would be purged, and we found that mercy and truth met together, and righteousness and peace kissed each other. What's righteousness? Attribute spirit. That's what the prophet called it on page 20 of Who Is This Melchizedek? Righteousness, he said, attribute spirit. In other words, the spirit doing it. The only way you'll ever be righteous is in that part of it. There's no righteousness in our own worth nothing. Then what is peace? Theophany, word. So then you've got word and spirit put together, and it purges our iniquity. Now let's pick it up onto this. It takes the revealed word, now watch, not the letter. It takes the revealed word to cleanse our iniquities. So your second seal reveals now that your pure word, our sword, see, opposing Satan, him having a sword. They that take the sword shall die by it. They took the sword of dogma and creeds and die by that, because the pure word will have to be what destroys them. Then we saw now in ourselves that we were products of iniquity and must be purged to get rid of that, because that's what the seals is for the redemption of the body. It automatically has to reveal the redemption of the soul. But your soul's already redeemed, and you're waiting the redemption of the body, and that's what your seals is to do, is to bring a message to redeem this flesh. So we found out something about this flesh maybe we didn't know before, and found out how to cleanse that by the revealed word. The prophet said, you become the words, you receive it. Now picking it up under the second seal, we see Satan with his sword destroying, and we see God with his sword cleansing us. The doctrine that's preached is what will do the cleansing. Brother Brown said, the church don't have a doctrine, it ain't no church. Well, then the doctrine is what has to be there to do the purging. To take part of the first seal, see, to show it and connect it to the second, that the first seal reveals it's got to be purged by the word, and the second seal reveals that that's what does it. Because right where the prophet was covering, they that take the sword shall die by the sword, showing they took the sword of Roman dogmas and creeds, and will have to die by the sword that comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. He said the word will rise in power. See, then showing that there would have to be a restoration. Now just think. Now watch this. Watch it tie together and see if it covers redemption or not. The first seal shows that we had a deed. What was our deed? See, like tying it to the church age. Mystery of iniquity. Deeds. See, you and I didn't know a lot of the things we were doing was sin until the prophet brought the word. So we had deeds. Connecting to this old man that we are, we had deeds. Now, when deeds are made manifest in us, people see what our doctrine heart. Cain and Abel standing there, and Abel said, now, the Lord revealed to me that it was blood. Cain said, the Lord revealed to me that it was fruit. Both of them took their deeds, went forth with it, and produced to the world, that anybody could see it, their doctrine. And that doctrine was that I've got the word and you're off. So what happened? Cain rose up because of his doctrine and killed Abel, showing your seal spoke of all the way back there. Cain took the sword of dogma, contrary to the word, and started his killing right there. And it'll have to end the same way. It'll have to come all the way down now. But watch. First you got your deeds, or you could say it like this. First, the first seal shows that we're a product of iniquity. All right? Now, the first seal reveals that you and I are a product of iniquity because we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. See, our very beginning was iniquity. Now, the second seal shows us that the doctrines we've had all of these years is where our troubles be. Now, watch it. They that take the sword shall die by it. They took it in the Roman dogmas and creeds and must be destroyed over here by fire. The Jews, we show, took it, and they said, let his blood be on us. And thereby, that by taking that creed from someone else instead of the word, they must be killed. Now, here's what I like about the seal. The seal shows redemption, not just the Antichrist. Of course, you've got to just keep on preaching the Antichrist and all the things in it. But if you and I don't die out to our creeds, see, we've got to take the sword, the word the prophet preached, the sword, and destroy our doctrine. Or, we will be destroyed with the rest because of their doctrines. We have a choice. We can take it either way we want. We can take the word and let that word destroy what doctrines we've got, our deeds and our doctrines and our creeds and ideas and dogmas. Oh, bless God, we don't have no Roman dogmas among us. Well, I wonder what's keeping us here. Oh, we've got the pure word now, unadulterated word. Everybody just shouts about it. Well, what are we still doing here? That means there's something wrong, don't it? That means something's wrong. Something is still wrong, or you and I wouldn't be here. The prophet said the rapture's way overdue. All right, then, we have a choice. We can take that sword of the word, find our dogmas, creeds, ideas, imaginations of our minds, or whatever you want to cover it, like we was covering another day on how to destroy the flesh, taking Galatians there of the works of the flesh. We can take our imaginations or anything like that. We can have our own way. And that's where people get in trouble at. As a man asked me something about that the other day, he said, when I got through talking to him about it, he said, well, I've never seen it like that. I said, here we go through a day of imaginations, you know, and maybe the wife speaks a little harsh at you till the morning, and all day long you just spend the whole day in your mind running through, well, I wonder what's wrong with her. And when I get home this evening, I'm just going to tell her off. I'm going to tell her this, and I'm going to tell her. And all day that captivates our mind, our thoughts. The Bible says cast down imaginations and memories and things like that. But we'll go all day. And then when we get in home, I told this brother about it. I said, when we get home, I said, all falls through because we walk in the door. And the wife says, grabs you and kisses you and says, well, honey, it's good to see you. You know, I've been praying for you all day today. I thought there's a little something wrong this morning when you left. And you know, I've been crying and praying for you all day. Well, that just let the whole air out of the bag, didn't it? Now, see, your thinking's wrong. You ain't even catching what I'm talking about. It takes a revealed word to let you know you got it first. Then you can go to the Lord with it and get rid of it. So does it with the doctrines that I'm talking about. If we can look at the faults over there, let's just review that a minute now. If we can look over there and see that that second seal reveals to us now that Satan goes into a second stage, a second form, a second work of dispensation. And we can see him as a crowned false prophet. We can see that the Antichrist spirit that the first seal shows has now become into a man and becomes incarnate in that man. And we can see that part of it. See how that he takes his dogma, what he believes, and he literally destroys millions. But see, then what we want to do is say, well, but what we've done, we've accepted the prophet's message, and we're ready to go. We took the message the prophet preached to us. And boy, we believe that and we're ready to go. We got rid of all of our creeds and dogmas. It would take the revealed word, as I said, to let you know you got it. Many of the things that we thought were not wrong according to the word. When the prophet preached them, we found out they were contrary, didn't we? A lot of the things we done, we thought was not wrong. Until the word was revealed. That's the only way you'll ever get rid of it. I mean, you can quit smoking, drinking, chewing tobacco, or running around with women, or women stop cutting their hair and wearing their pants and makeup and things like that. That's commendable. Good. But unless the Lord has revealed that to you, then you're just doing it because of your own deeds. And that's commendable. But there's not one doubt of salvation now. Salvation is deliverance. Is you get rid of the want to. You get rid of the wanter. See, then, if we can see the natural side of what the seal reveals, then surely we could see the spiritual side. That you and I were born organizational and must die to that. Because that's what Eve done. She got together with the beast and they formed an organization. And it messed the whole system up. We're born that way. We don't have to go down and join the Baptist church to have a Baptist spirit. There's plenty of Pentecostal people that's Baptist to the core. You know that. I mean, it's plenty of Baptists that's Pentecostal to the core. I mean, you don't have to join a church to have the spirit of that church. Because when we were born naturally, physically, we got that spirit. Because it's a worldly spirit. It's a spirit of a system. It's a perversion of the true. It's a false spirit. Well, see, then if we can't see that our dogma now, there's no need of getting over here in the message number 4
and read how that we become, how that when the Spirit becomes incarnate in us, we'll crown Him King of Kings, and how that that Spirit of that Antichrist, we can see that went one way, and the Holy Spirit goes the other way, and getting the church to the place that they are the incarnate God. There's no need of talking about that side of it until you get this side out of the way. That's what's wrong with the people. They love to read those things. They turn their, boy, ain't that something? Look at all them statements the prophet made out that we're the Word. Boy, ain't it something? We're the Word. When God becomes incarnate in us, boy, we'll crown Him King of Kings. Oh, we know all about that, don't we? Well, what's keeping Him from becoming incarnate? It ain't revealed to them or something, because you can manifest everything's revealed to you, and that's, there's something wrong there then. There's something wrong when we say all of those beautiful statements that the prophet has made, and we're still here. You know, there's something there that's mixed up. Well, then first, before you can talk of the great things that we see of, like the seal showing the opposition of the Antichrist and his incarnate stage of the false prophet and things, and then we look over here and see the incarnate God on the other side and see that that's what it, Satan gets his type from what God is, because that's where the prophet uses even to the word type, because he follows right after God in the way that he does. Even as we saw in the first seal that it went Antichrist, false prophet, beast, and then Satan incarnate as a man of sin. It goes just the case, same case, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, incarnate God. Satan gets his type from God's doing. Then the second seal reveals to us that there must be an end somewhere. Somebody will catch the word. And as we saw, the first seal showed that it would cleanse the iniquity of the person when they catch the word and it's truly revealed to them. That cleanses the iniquity of the person, and the person is standing there then having no more sin. And that's where the prophet said. He said there was a place there that could be reached that you had no more sin. All right, then that seal reveals that. The second seal then will reveal to us that there's a place that somebody will catch it. You can look at the natural side of it on the outside and see that that incarnate spirit and that second work comes to the place that that Pope says he ain't got no more sin. He becomes the one that forgives the sin. How could he sin that would forgive sin? I mean, where would be the authority? Where would be the authority of a sinner like me and you stand and say, Brother Tatum, I forgive your sins. Now, where could I get that authority at? I'd have to believe I wasn't a sinner. Maybe we'll catch something one of these days that the prophet told Brother Lee Vail for one time in his life. He had no more fear, and then one time he had no, what was it, condemnation? He said, no man could forgive your sins. And wasn't that the way we've been taught? No man can forgive sins. But yet they asked Brother Branham, or said to Brother Branham, later after he preached marriage and divorce, they said, you forgive them people's sins. He said, now watch it. See, he didn't forgive their sins. He was just the lips that moved at the revealed word told their sins were forgiven. Then I can stand and forgive sin the same way then. How? By this word here. When this word is fully revealed, you know, to the person, for whatever incident or case that it would be, the church does have the power then to remit the sin. Whatsoever sins you forgive, or whatsoever sins you retain. So the church has the power to do both of them. The church has the power to remit sin, and the church has the power to hold those sins. Why do you think it would work for that you'd turn a person loose? Brother Brown taught us that, and you can turn a person loose to allow Satan to destroy him. Why? Because the church has the power. But don't tell me there's no church going to turn over a person for running around when half the people in there is running around. Now, I mean, don't tell me garbage can. Now, I won't even listen to stuff like that. Don't tell me all about how you can go out here and turn this person loose. I remember one time they said they'd turn this man loose because he couldn't quit smoking. And the poor old man went and killed himself. Now, boy, they really thought they'd done something. I wonder what it'll be when it comes to Judgment Day. Because the Bible says, with what soever you mete out will be meted back to you. Something like that in the Scripture, you know. By what you do and what you're doing to that other person, it'll come right back to you in the judgment. You can use the power of persuasion and get a, because that person was mentally ill and everybody knew it. I'm not throwing off on them. Maybe they done it right and maybe the Lord done all. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you the incident. I'm just giving an example of it to try to show you that the Word must rise in power to do the destroying. Me and you are not over there where that destroying comes to, that under the seal and all like that of the man of sin. We've got to destroy the man of sin that has anything to do with us. Here. While we are alive, something's got to happen to somebody. That they catch that word and they come to the place that they have no more sin. Now don't tell me that it would be me go out here and I go down the road and just see a guy and I just shoot him and kill him. And then I come up here to church and say, the Lord just revealed to me that I have no more sin. Now we're not stupid. We're not just especially say the next day I'd go out and kill somebody else. Because that's what the Catholic Church done. Do you realize you can go down to the Catholic Church, and as I said the other day, you can go down to the Catholic Church, you can get forgiven of killing somebody before you ever kill them. Now that's power, ain't it? That you can go out and kill somebody and then go down and tell a little old priest and say, well, I want to confess to you. And now he can't turn you over to the law. He's bound by an oath. He can't turn you over to the law. But yet they go in, sit down, talk to him, say, well, I killed a person the other day. And Father, would you intercede for me and help me out? And then he goes over to Mary and he intercedes. And then she intercedes. It finally gets to God and the priest comes back and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now they got that out of this word. Now there's a man sitting here, Brother Smart, used to be formerly Catholic. He could tell you probably a lot more about that than I ever even thought of or knowed of or anything. I just take what Brother Brown says about things. And then what little bit I can read of the natural papers and things that come out on stuff like that. But there's people in this message that know that those people believe that. And they base their whole eternal life on that, what that priest says and that church says. And yet you and I can't base ourselves on what the Word says. See, we're not going out of here Brother Ratliff says we all want to live like the devil and die like Paul. That's basically what man wants to do. But they took a Roman dogma and gave the people a right to kill and destroy and read it right out of the Bible. The people of this message are not doing much better than that. They're promising you salvation because of believing Brother Branham. They're promising you your children to be saved by believing Brother Branham. They're promising you all those things that I said, the triple ruling crown. They rule you with the message they preach. They rule over you by heaven, earth, and purgatory. They're doing the same identical thing in this message they've done in the Catholic. no different, ruling you with that, instead of letting the Word rule. They take their own dogma and rule you with it. Now, those things has got to go, or we don't go. As I showed you, we've got the choice. The seal reveals the choice now. We'll pick up a lot of that tonight and go through that part of it. But the seal reveals that you've got a choice. You can go on with the system of organized religion and be destroyed because you took the sword. And you must die by it. So you took the sword of dogma and you must die by it. But it reveals that there is a church. Now we'll take it up tonight and see that there is a church that by taking the word and dying to their creed, they can stand forth then and take control. And death can't harm them. You see where the first seal and the second, this ties right together now. As to what it reveals in the Antichrist system, and then what it reveals in the mystery of redemption to be revealed under the seal. Then watch it now and read, if you have a chance this evening, read the second seal. And then read on over about 253 or something like that, where you'll end up about 255. Of the third seal, where he's referring to the second seal as a foundation for the third to pick it up. Watch always how he takes that one and lays a foundation for the next one, and then he'll just hit it for just a few minutes. I believe it was Brother Johnson or something about Brother Woodby, one of those brothers up there, said the first time he heard the seals on tape or read it or something, said he'd get right in there, you know, thinking, well, boy, he's going to start on that seal in just a minute. Brother Brown said, you enjoy the breaking of the second seal, you know, something to say. Let's stand together now and dismiss. Missed the whole breaking of the seal. If we see redemption under the seal, it wouldn't matter what seal I put it under if I could see redemption under it. I just want to know the mystery of redemption. It wouldn't make no difference if it was under the seventh seal that I saw I was a product of iniquity and God, how God would forgive me of that. Now you think about it, we're in a pitiful situation. Let me make it as negative as I can for a few minutes and then leave it till tonight. We're in a pitiful situation. We're in a very bad situation. What you believe will shortly manifest itself, whether good or bad. What you have accepted in your life, what has guided you all of your life, is soon coming to a head. People have said, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, told me to do that. If it was the Holy Spirit, then all right, but what if it wasn't the Holy Spirit that told them to do that? Cain said, the Lord told me to go make this offering, and I'm making it. Abel said, the Lord told me to go make this offering. Both of them anointed with the same spirit. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Said, we're spiritual. We can do anything you can do. They proved, you know, the natural points of it. Dathan and Korah stood out there to Moses and said, you take too much on yourself. We're spiritualists like you are. That looks bad, don't it? I told you I'm taking a negative side of things where we can get it really down far enough where you can see. What about Moses? Now, wasn't he a hard, stern, high-tempered, strong man? Or wasn't he really rough there when Dathan and Korah walked up there one day and they said, Moses, you take too much on yourself now. We're spiritual also. And the whole congregation is spiritual. God's dealing with all of us. Watch your old mad, high-tempered, strung-up Moses. Boy, go get your censers and bring them out here and let's see who's backing up who. spirit looks bad, don't it? But we know that wasn't what happened. Is that right? We know that wasn't what happened. But it looks like that's what happened. But we know that Moses knew what was in them two men causing them to do that. It was the Antichrist spirit. But yet they thought they were anointed by the Holy Spirit to do it. Everybody today believes they're called to do this or do that or to preach or to whatever. Everybody believes that they're called, don't they? Everybody believes they have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told me to do this, the Holy Spirit told me to do that. Well now, whatever guided me and you, all of us, whatever's guiding us all of our lives is fixing to come to a head. And when it does, then we won't know. Because Brother Brown said they'll go right on thinking they're getting saved and rapture's done come. Now, we won't know ourselves, but one of these days we will know because we'll meet the judgment. But the real true we'll know before they leave. Right where they stand. But, you know, everybody thinks the real truth. I was riding with this brother down the road one day, and he and I were talking about this other brother. And it just come to me, and I started laughing. He said, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "You know what? If that brother and one of his brothers were riding down the road, you know what they'd be talking about?" He said, "What?" I said, "They'd be talking about how perverted we are." We was talking about how mixed up he was. I said, "They'd be talking about how perverted we are." And see, in that, you can see that we all think we're right. But there ain't but one thing is right. That's the word. So we have the choice now. Watch it tonight as it picks up and goes through how the second seal reveals that the word will have to be restored and that that word will rise in power to destroy the false prophet. But can you see it like we tied the first seal to it? There's just not the mystery of iniquity looking at the Antichrist. We found out you and I were part of that. Second seal doesn't just reveal false prophet Pope. We find out that we're part of that. Now, where will it go in the third then? Because the fourth reveals the end of all of it. It'll come to a total end then. You think on these things this afternoon. The word, the prophet's already told us. But we can just take a book, we can take a concordance and run down the line, get up all these quotations about how the Word is supposed to be incarnate in us. That's not going to make it incarnate. That's not going to make it true just because we can read it. They've read, not in this type of text, but they've read Acts 2:38 ever since Calvary and baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost ever since 325 A.D., so that doesn't mean just reading is right. Let's stand together. But you just keep in mind now, we are a part of the worldly system. I'm talking about the flesh now. Our flesh and our being, our very actions and all, is controlled to a degree by the false system. We must know how to destroy that and its power. And the prophet said it'd take the revealed word to do it. Joyce, would you come? Father, we ask you that you would just bless your word now. Help us to see that what we're trying to see is ourselves. Find out truly what we are. And then in that we can stand. Either to get rid of it or to bless it. Because, Lord, we know there's so many things that down through life we have got rid of that was a blessing. And help us now not to hold them when it comes down to the end of all things. Bless your word. Guide your people. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing just as I am. Anyone has a need? The altar's open. Don't forget
to the brothers. The ministers' meeting has been changed from November the third Saturday in November up until the second Saturday in December. It'll still be in Atlanta Church, but it'll be the second Saturday in December. So if you see any of the brothers, tell them that. Tell them it has been called off because there were so many that were tied up with deer hunting and things like that that they wanted it changed. And that way everybody basically would be able to come because some already had made plans thinking we were going to keep the meeting on the second Saturday in rotation, and we jumped to the third Saturday, and then one wanted this way, one wanted that way, so we just called it off until the month of December. But it'd be the second Saturday in December. Let's sing this just as I am. Just as I am, 220. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Anyone has a need now? Just think about it. The Lord has sent us all the things. He's given us His Word. He's given us an opportunity. As the prophet said, the move is on for the bride. He said, that was thus saith the Lord. Well, you know, if you won't move, then not on for you. But the Word promised us a restoration. And in that restoration will come the restoration of power. I am tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. You look around at the natural side. Just look at the natural side of what everything's coming to. I heard the other day on the radio, I forgot how many, but I'll just say one, but it was a number, something like 9 people, losing their jobs across the land of the United States every 1 second. Now, that's, if it's just one losing their job every 1 second, 60 seconds to a minute. Now, I might be wrong in quoting that. It might be a minute or something, but best I remember, it was a second. They told how many had lost their jobs. All across the country now, people are just out of work. Tell them, say, well, Social Security, it's going to cost every person next year over $4, I believe it is, a week. Extra Social Security just to get it through to a certain period of time. It's going to cost you about $200 a year extra to every person. That's just to get it through to a certain time. Everything is falling to pieces. They don't know what the new man's going to be that comes up in Russia. All things working just right the way it's supposed to. But in all of that, the Bible says, lift up your heads because your redemption draweth nigh. It's just about over with. And the people, where are they? Running to and fro, scattered. Don't know what to believe, who to believe, or what to do. Not knowing
that the prophet told us that years and years and years ago that he'd come right down here. And then knowing that we have an opportunity to move, yet we won't take it. As I said, they took the Bible to prove all of them dogmas and things wrong. Surely, we should be able to take the Word and just keep eating it until it will cleanse us from all of it. Because it'll be that Word. Now, I hope you got my point this morning. We've got a choice. They that take the sword shall die by it. You and I took the sword. We were born that way. Perversion. Hooked up in systems. We were taking the sword. The Word. We must die. And death is hard. You don't want to die, do you? The flesh don't want to die. It wants to live on. But just keep that in mind now. Because the Word promises a restoration. And with that, it will destroy the Antichrist in the brightness of the coming of the Lord. It must do that to me and you. So just tie it together. Now tie each seal together and study them and read them until you can see a connecting link all the way through. And you'll see it'll wind up one of these days. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, Brother Tatum, will you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you again today for your presence and for your life today, Lord. We thank you for your Word. We know that your Word will stand and everything else falls apart. Lord, we ask you to bless your people, Lord, and with your help us all together to keep us throughout this day.
Don't forget your new book. An absolute. Don't forget it before you leave.